Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, welcome. This is Access Astrology. Three astrologers who get together and speak about astrology and take calls from listeners to answer questions. And so we'll be happy to take your calls. We also read emails and handle those questions. So you can email us or phone in on the show. And I'm actually only on for a few minutes tonight because I have to be up and out the door early tomorrow morning. I'm taking care of a colleague's classes, covering for it. But I'm here to say hello. And I am also here to say happy birthday to my two Virgo colleagues.
Yay!
Thank you.
Virgo birthdays, yay.
You've just done your birthday.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, we both did.
Yes, we did.
I was the 4th.
Mine was the 11th.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, you going to sing to us, Mark?
No. No, I'll let somebody call in and sing.
All right, okay.
Anyway, we should introduce ourselves. I'm not the birthday guy. No. This is Mark Wolf in Manhattan. And
I'm Ann Ortley. I'm also in Manhattan on the Upper East Side at my bright red desk, looking out there, filming a movie outside of my window all day with very loud noise and lots of people. Yeah, and Friday, too, they were filming. So it's been...
You know what movie they're filming?
No, I don't. But people are, you know, coming and complaining. I had friends come Friday night for my birthday, and they were like, I can't park out there. The police are making us move. What's moving? You know, there's a movie. And I'm like, I don't know. But then today it was all outside of my window. So I have to go check it out. I think they're going to be there tomorrow. They still have all the trucks and stuff. So
Yeah. How interesting.
I know.
Yeah. This is Heather Rowan Robbins, also in Manhattan tonight.
Woo-hoo! Yay! Heather's in Manhattan.
And I'm on the Lower East Side.
Okay. Heather's in Manhattan. Yay!
Yes.
Good.
And we're all going to be together tomorrow night at the Open Center at 6:30. And what's the address for the Open Center?
22 East 30, between 5th and Madison. 222 East 30th. Come in and it's $5 from 6:30 to 7:30, and you get great astrology.
Wonderful.
Yep.
Yeah.
So I will see you there, and I'm going to sign off for tonight.
Okay. See you tomorrow.
Okay.
Okay, bye.
All right.
All right. And Heather, it's you and me.
Yes. And what time did Mercury go direct?
It went direct yesterday, I think, right? I don't have my little calendar right here.
It felt like today that it started to unwind and unclog.
But
it still kind of... There's a lot of holding, you know, running around and holding still.
Right, because Pluto is stationing.
Yes.
And that's why Pluto's like a giant constipation, huh?
Yes.
Yes.
And I've also noticed that people tend to think that, oh, good, Mercury's direct. It'll be straightened out today.
Mm-mm.
And Mercury hates being slow. It hates being stationary more than it hates being backwards, even.
Yes.
So even as it turns direct, it takes a little while to build up speed again, to appear to move forward. So if you'll notice that the next couple of days is all about straightening out misunderstandings and correcting, fixing things and getting back on track and speeding up. I had some interesting Mercury retrograde, a classic, you know, three wrongs make a right,
mm-hmm.
on Sunday when one client canceled,
mm-hmm.
and the next client thought I was at TRS, not TNS. It was in the wrong part of town.
Right. It's a letter, it's an important letter.
Right. When they finally got, you know, they called, left messages, I'm coming. They got there about an hour late, but the client after them had canceled, so it was time for them. Meanwhile, because they canceled, I got to participate in a welcoming ritual for the new class at the seminary that I wouldn't have had she been on time.
Oh,
so
okay.
Three things went wrong and it all went right.
Oh, it was good, yeah. I love mm-hmm. that kind of stuff.
I
I'm going to be ready because I've had more, you know, I try and be a Virgo and be on time mm-hmm. with my things, but it's been very crazed with the Mercury retrograde.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, people screwing, mm-hmm. missing appointments, and calling very apologetically because they're all Virgos or Gemini. I never do that. I'm like, I know you don't worry.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm thanking mm-hmm. you for the extra time because now I have time to do this other thing that, you know, kind of didn't get happening because of Mercury retrograde.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Exactly.
No, it's definitely. And I had it with the adventures with the refrigerator that died and came back to birth and died again mm-hmm. and then came back to birth, and it really wasn't the refrigerator at all. It was the fuse. But I got a new refrigerator out of the deal, so that was good.
That's good.
So it was like, all right, all's well that ends well. You know, new refrigerator and the fuse got tightened and everything works. So
good.
Forward. And so, yeah, so we had a really busy week this week. I think that's one of the things we want to really emphasize with people, because Mercury going direct was Sunday. So we feel the station like a day or two ahead, so like Saturday and Friday. But Pluto is going direct tomorrow, Tuesday. Actually, when we're at the Open Center, it goes direct around 6:30. And he is a five-day station because he's so big and slow. So we go back 5 days. So we go back again to Thursday. So Mercury and Pluto have both been stopped in the sky, and they're trine to the North Node, and they're in Earth signs. So the combination makes it very, very juicy for creative information or information about things that you're to create going forward, because it's Earth. It wants to manifest in form, and Pluto stopped, Mercury stopped, and they're actually pretty good buddies, those two guys. So I think them stopped talking to each other in Earth, wanting to create stuff, is a great time for feeling like you can just kind of get stuff done. And we're still working with the Pluto station too. So while Mercury's going direct, you might be going, why isn't it feeling better? And Heather said it does take a while to get going, but also we still have Pluto stationing, and Mercury and Pluto are working together right now. So what have you seen that? How have you seen that showing up?
I'm seeing a lot of, well, this last weekend we had all the protests and counter-protests down at Ground Zero. I see a lot of hidden information coming to the surface. I have two clients waiting for the biopsy results, and all of the, like, it's the dark stuff or the feelings and fears and excitements and longings coming up to the surface. And this is also happening as Venus and Mars, who have been running conjunct together, which sort of keeps feelings flowing fast and free and full, and they've been going from la-di-da, happy, sweet Libra into pretty intense Scorpio. Venus just went in last week, and Mars goes into Scorpio tomorrow. So the two emotional planets going from friendly and forgiving Libra to intense, you know,
paranoid on a bad day.
Paranoid on a bad day.
Passionate on a good.
Passionate on a good. Focused on a good, revenge filled on a bad, it's kind of tricky at bringing that up. So my feeling is if things go wrong, they're going to go wrong with a lot more oomph than before. But we can use this to focus on trying to get to the truth. And getting stuck in situations where we can get to the truth is going to be important. Another example of that Pluto-Mercury station moving direct that I heard tonight, a friend who had a relationship explode on her finding out that her partner had been doing all kinds of things behind her back years ago and hadn't spoken to them for 3 years, had coffee with him this afternoon and got the apologies that she should have gotten 3 years ago.
Wow.
And heard the full story. So sometimes it's very good and very healing to get the splinters out.
Was she healed by that? I find when they come back and apologize and they tell you what really went on, I get madder. I had somebody do that to me like years after the relationship ended. And when they said, you know, I need to apologize to you because if it wasn't for you, I wouldn't be da-da-da. And I'm like, yeah. And then they told me what actually went on, and I was so livid. So livid, because it had gone away, but it had never been healed. And then it got popped open like a little boil, and I hadn't been that mad. And then now that I knew what really happened, I was even madder. You know, it was kind of, for me, it was not a good thing. But
well, for her it was, because she knew what had happened.
Yeah,
but
she
never... She'd heard what had happened, but she hadn't heard his side of the story.
Oh, okay.
And to hear that he admitted it was all his fault.
Yeah, okay.
Was healing for her.
Okay, well, that's good. Yeah, because I wanted to hit him.
Yeah.
But I got Venus in Scorpio, so I have to be aware of the fact that, you know, you don't want to go to jail, and they're not worth killing them for, you know,
right.
Walk away.
And, you know, I mean, I always think of that, the Scorpios bumper sticker when I think of the Scorpio, Venus and Mars in Scorpio, or the Moon in Scorpio, which, you know, the bumper sticker that says, X's make good speed bumps. that seriousness, it's not a place, you know, the higher note of Scorpio is transformative and intense and,
yeah.
and highly spiritual and quite powerfully beautiful. But all of us will have to face the parts of ourselves that we may not be so proud of. And that we have to notice that we may be, that it's important for us not to, to pretend that we don't, aren't pissed,
yeah.
or aren't upset, or aren't feeling. We don't have to act on it.
Right.
You know,
but we do have to notice that, when it burbles up, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right, and we have to notice it and feel free to vent in a safe way away from the people involved. And let our more mature self decide on action.
Right.
But that those feelings are honest and real, and with them comes our life force, our vitality, our immune system, all that's tied up in there. So it needs to, if there's anything clogged, if any of the gutters are clogged, it may take a while to clear. We have to find healthy, safe, and sane ways to clear them.
Right, right. Well, and the thing to remember about Pluto is, or not Pluto, Scorpio is, when it is clogged up, it gets depressed. So it wants, the whole thing with Venus in Scorpio, and she's going to be in Scorpio. We want to maybe talk a little bit about Venus retrograde because we've got her for, she's going to be in Scorpio for 100 days.
Whoa.
With a little break.
When does she go retrograde?
She goes retrograde in October, the 8th or so. But she's in Scorpio for 100 days of passion. So she's going to be 40 days in Scorpio. Then she goes retrograde, then she goes back into Libra for 22 days, and then she's in Scorpio through January 7th. So we're all going to be volunteering, we're all going to be working with Venus in Scorpio energy, because she's in Scorpio, so she's going to be coloring Venus for all of us, even if you have Venus in another sign. So you're going to feel the passion come up, and you're going to feel that, and what Venus in Scorpio really wants to do is to merge body and soul, not just body, because body's important, but soul is where it's at. But at the same time, she's afraid that when she does it, she's going to die. So Venus in Scorpio, you know, Scorpio is death. So she knows when I merge deeply, and they call sex the little death, because there is this kind of moment where you, well, not always, but most of the time, you kind of go out of your body and you're not you're not there anymore, and you kind of die, and you go, wow, that was really, that was amazing, you know, and it's like a, you know, it's this transformative experience. But Venus in Scorpio wants that. She seeks that level of deep intimacy.
Intensity.
Deep intimacy, yeah. Yeah, it's really, but she's in her shadow, she's in her, working in her shadow place now. So the stuff that she's been bringing up since the beginning of September, since September 5th, you're going to be working with for the next till January. So it's, you know, pay attention to the messages or the stories that have shown up in your life over the last couple of weeks. Because she's a big, she's a big, big feature of the fall, as we say. Yeah, the big feature of fall is Venus.
Goes, when she goes retrograde, she begins to pull away from that conjunction with Mars.
Yes. Yeah,
and so she, we get to deal with her on her own. It's you know, it's when Venus and Mars are running together in Scorpio. I think there's sort of like a doubling up of the intensity.
Yeah.
But we really do have, you know, finding out what we want and being honest about that and taking that in direct place. I said Venus, with Venus and Scorpio, we want to be alone until we don't. And then when we don't, we really want to be intensely intimate.
Right.
And but it's Scorpio, Venus and Mars and Scorpio are usually fairly nonverbal.
Yeah.
It will notice more by body language, by sex, by motion, by action, and are less afraid of physical intimacy than they are of emotional intimacy.
Right.
So that lineup sometimes has a hard, makes it a little harder for us to share on, share verbally and easily about what we're feeling. Not because we don't feel, but because the feelings are so intense and they're almost pre-verbal.
Right.
So sometimes it's easier to paint them, draw them, watch the actions of, notice the feelings. So if someone's, if you pick up from someone that their energy is very different from their words, watch their energy, watch what they're feeling, watch what their body language is, because that will tell you more sometimes than their words.
Right. The other thing I noticed, and I say this to people, if you've ever had somebody die, the sex you have right after they're dead, you know, like post-death
not
sex.
With them.
Not with them, you know, with somebody else. Like you've gone through a funeral, or you've gone through losing somebody, and, you know, you're having sex for the first time after the death, not with the person who died. Good point. But it is like this really intense sex because you're like, it's post-death sex, and you're like so happy you're alive, and every part of your body's going, please, please, go wild with me. It's got that intense. Yeah, it's about wanting to be really deeply alive. And the other thing that I think is really interesting, because I like
that's
to look at what
point.
What the planets say to us about how we're supposed to work with the energy, because they give us really big clues if we watch. So in this case, Mercury was retrograde when Venus entered her shadow. And Mercury and Venus are buddies, too. And Mercury's been in Virgo retrograde. So he's been asking us all to become very clear about what we want. And a lot of people have been doing clarifying work around, well, my desire nature wants this. You know, I really, you know, really getting clear in their intention of what they're trying to create as this cardinal cross separates and starts to create things. Then the next piece of it is Mercury now in Scorpio saying, okay, so talk to me about the intensity of your desire. Talk to me about the intensity of your passion. Because she was, while Mercury's retrograde getting us clear, she entered her shadow, and now he's gone direct, and she's in Scorpio, and she's working with Mars. They're buddies. They're hanging out together. So the two of them, Mars is the guy who goes gets Venus things, and Venus who says what she wants. And when they travel together like this, they're very good at saying, I want this, I want to go get it. But then when they split up down the road a little piece, Mars is going to be going forward, and he's going to be going and getting Venus what she wants, and she may be revising a little bit. So really watch what you say you want as this forward motion takes place. And also with Mercury shifting and going direct with the trine to Pluto, that's earth and water make mud. So the gang is really working together here. They're all in early signs. They're all in sextile aspect to each other. So they're really working on creating your next place. So really just being conscious of, well, I do want that. No, not so much, but I know I want this focus on this. Because that Venus in Scorpio really wants us to direct our passion. So
that's a good way to say it. It really is a time when be careful what you ask for surely you might get it. So to be careful, again, I'm thinking of a client that I saw today who has been, you know, longing for a married person. Well, that married person just decided to divorce, and now she's panicking.
Right.
Because that wasn't necessarily what she wanted, to long for him rather than actually deal with him. And so you ask to be very careful of what you're asking for. But that it is a time, if you are clear, to make sure that your will is in line with, you know, if you're not just wanting it, that it is a time to stop and go, what am I, can I long for my highest evolution? Can I long for what's best for all sentient beings? Because if I just long for something personal, it may come with a price. There is a Scorpio backlash to that.
Yeah, Scorpio does have that little tail that comes along and says, well, you asked for this. And you go, I don't think I asked for that. The one I like, I don't know if you've seen it, because it's kind of, you know, I go to weird movies, but Nanny McPhee, you know, she does this little thing where the kids ask for stuff, and she gives it to them, but then there's, you know, she gives it to them, like, bigger than they asked. So then there's this adjusting thing where they go, ooh, that wasn't really what I wanted. And she's like, well, how would you rephrase that? And she kind of teaches that whole adjusting process of, well, what are you actually asking for there, you know? So I do think that's an
important thing. There was a movie with Elizabeth Hurley playing the devil and Brendan Fraser being the goofus that kept asking for the wrong things and getting all the wishes exactly as he asked for them.
Right. That was a great movie. That same idea. Yeah, where she's like,
you may be feeling that, so, you know, invoke carefully. I've also noticed as Pluto goes direct that the conversation around death, because, again, you were talking about, you know, great sex in the face of death, that the issues of mortality. And New York, it's 9/11. We know a lot of people are talking about death. And this is a lot of health issues for people, or relatives about to go, or, and they may be just fine, but the topic, what do we want to do in the face of life and death, is really present.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. If we were to die tomorrow, what would we want? What is
exactly
the vision? Yeah.
Right, right. So, and again, that Scorpio doesn't do that to make us miserable. It's not God. It's got a more strangely dark sense of humor sometimes. It really wants us to be fully alive, as
right.
you said.
Mm-hmm. And if you're really aware of, you know, nothing, you know, when you talk to people who had near-death experiences or were diagnosed with illnesses and then survived, they said, very clarifying, gets you really focused on what you want. And I had my palmistry teacher had taken a course offered through the Tibet Society, you know, A Year to Live, where they have you go through kind of a process, like you're going to die in a year, what else, what do you need to do? And she said it was very interesting because it got you really focused on what was the most important thing. And there's so much of our lives that we live that we go, well, you know, I'm going to get to that one of these days. I'm going to, you know, I'm going to, and when is one of these days? You know, and
Stephen Levine wrote a book.
Book was based on Stephen Levine's book.
Oh, it's
the
one,
year,
it's
yeah,
wonderful.
And it was doing the exercises in that book every month. She met once
That's
a month.
Wonderful.
Yeah, it's a great book on that. Would you remember the title?
1 Year to Live.
1 Year to Live. Yeah.
And he does so much with the Death and Dying Project to begin with.
Yeah.
But and it really is, you know, he wrote that again because he noticed that so many people, when they got the death notice, when they found out they had cancer, said if they had, you know, only a few days to live, then it was a different subject. But if they were given about a year or two to live, they finally told off their mother-in-law, quit the job they hated, did what they always wanted to do, and funnily enough, often became hospice dropouts. And he said, why are people more afraid of living than they are of dying?
Right.
Why did it take a gun to their head to make them finally make it the life they wanted? That's
Makes
a very
sense.
Good question.
Yeah. Well, it's
and
true.
One that
you know, I mean, I know Pluto
and Mars are happy to ask us.
Yeah, yeah. It's that whole of what is your vision, you know, and you're like, oh, I'm going to get to it. And it's like, it goes really fast, you know. I call my dad every week and I laugh. You know, he called it the death and dying report. He's 81. All his friends are dying or they're getting sick or whatever. You know, and I call in and, you know, who's died or gotten ill this week. And I always hang up and I go, well, I'm only, you know, 50. Well, now I'm 56. Before I was saying, I'm only 55. I got a few more years before I get to the death and dying report. But it really makes you aware of not a long time, very speedy times here on Earth. We don't get a whole big
chunk. We're already too old to be called having died too young.
Right.
That's
a good point, Heather. I hadn't thought of that.
Last Thursday, one of the people, I went to the new seminary for interfaith studies up here in New York, and it was the first interfaith seminary started by Swami Satchidananda, Rabbi Gelberman, Father Giles Spoonauer, and Reverend John Mundy from the Course in Miracles. And Rabbi Gelberman died last Thursday.
Oh.
And he was, you know, he called himself a neo-Hasidic. He was born Hasidic. Whole family died in the Holocaust. And he said, either I can give up the rest of my life in their name, or I can live in joy in their name. And he became a wild Kabbalistic mystic and was joy-filled and teaching up to the end of his days. And he died, what is it, they figured 17 minutes after Rosh Hashanah ended.
Wow.
And was teaching up to the last 24 hours.
Wow.
And he was just so filled with life. But that was, it felt like that's part of the Pluto cycle. There's a lot of people are leaving, and that, you said, started last Thursday. But his was a very, you know, it was a very peaceful, just fading out. In his 98th year, at 98 years old, right after his 99th Rosh Hashanah.
Wow. Wow. Good journey.
And Mercury retrograde, Saima came to sit with his mourners for an evening, and she'd been in silent retreat, so she came because she worked with Rabbi Gelbman. They were good friends. So she came and sat with his mourners, but she was in silence. She kept her silence retreat. So she just sat there, and occasionally she would write notes to the people in the audience that someone else would read. Mm-hmm. But she kept silent because Mercury was retrograde.
Mm-hmm. That's what she does on Mercury retrograde?
No, she just happened to be leading a silent retreat.
Okay, that's cool.
Yeah.
Wow.
So towards the end of the week, Mars sextiles Pluto. Talking a little bit about, and do you want to give out the number now for anybody who wants to call in on those?
Hang on, let me pull it up. Our numbers, we have callers on the hold right now already. Our call-in number, 347-215-8881, 347-215-8881. Access Astrology, three astrologers, making astrology alive for you. All right, so we have Pluto going direct, we have Mars going into Scorpio, dancing with Venus. And then we have Mars making his little aspect, because every time a planet enters a new sign, Mars going into Scorpio, he's going to make aspects to the T-square, the cosmic T-square that we were working with for the last few months.
Mm-hmm.
And then my favorite, on Saturday, we have Jupiter and Uranus joining. And part two.
And that is going to be wild.
And that's going to be wild on Saturday. Jupiter Uranus, part two, in Pisces, last degree, 28, right at the end, really kicking off some energy. Releasing, new beginnings, releasing, new beginnings. Kind of think of it as flashing the two. Uranus releasing, Jupiter new beginnings, Uranus releasing, change, 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 new beginnings. I love Jupiter-Uranus conjunctions. So we have three of them this year. We had one on June 5th, we have the second one this week, and then we have the third one in January. So this is a great week to release things and do new beginnings. So talk a little bit about the Mars-Pluto trine.
Mars-Pluto sextile. I want to go back to Jupiter-Uranus. Jupiter-Uranus, when Jupiter-Uranus, she goes gangbusters. So I personally will wait and buy Kindle after the last of the Jupiter-Uranus conjunction, but because there's so much progress that happens in such a short period of time, that there's often, and there's, you know, there's many things that are causing one of the biggest generation gaps that we've seen since the 60s between the people that sort of came of age before 2008 and the people that are coming of age now or after 2015. It's where really the world is just changing in such a rapid rate right now. And I think technology is one of the issues. The people that are born to this technology and to whom it is second nature and first language, the Twitterverse on the down, are really in a different generation, and it's going to intensify as the technology speeds up during these Jupiter-Uranus conjunctions. But it really is wonderful for helping us get started. I think that the Mars sextile Pluto really gives us the energy to do something. We get to choose what we want to do with it. It could also, it can go into military action. You know, it says any Mars thing can succeed. It has extra power. But let's see if we can direct it towards successful heroism, successful excitement, successful boundary setting. If we're feeling a little amorphous, we might find a healthy, clean, and clear way to just say no and not be angry about it. Just hold that line with Mars-Pluto conjunction.
Right. Yeah. Well, it's hard sometimes to really hold
Yes,
line,
it is. Should we
take
a caller?
Is ready to roll. Yeah, we can, totally. The other thing before we go is the moon on Thursday and Friday is in Capricorn in the lovely closing aspect. The moon at the beginning of the week in Sag is a square to Uranus, great for letting go of things. And then it goes in, I think it's like 8 o'clock on Wednesday, into Capricorn at night, or 6:30 at night, I don't know. But in Capricorn, Thursday, Friday, great aspects. And then it's in Aquarius on Saturday, Sunday, with a conjunction to Neptune. So that's about pursuing the dream. So it's a good week to release at the beginning, to create at the middle, and to dream at the end. And with that, we'll go to our callers. Okay. Hi, 352, you're on the air. Can we help?
Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Good here. Thank you for letting me call.
Yeah, do you have a question?
Yes, I do. I want to know where am I headed in the near future regarding my finances and transportation.
regarding your finances and transportation. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Can you give us your birth information?
Sure. I was born on June 24th, 1970.
Mm-hmm. What time?
7 a.m.
Where?
In Panama, Central America.
Panama City?
Yeah, in Panama City, in Panama, Republic of Panama.
Okie dokie. Mm-hmm. All right, good. So finances and money, that was the question?
Yeah, finances and transportation.
You mean like getting a car?
Right.
Going somewhere. Yeah, you got Saturn on your Uranus in the third house, so that's like car energy right there, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Heather, what do you
think? It looks like there's been some restriction on that travel for a while now. It looks like the electrics of your car are having a trouble. And I can see where finances in general are a little tricky for you, that you tend to work very hard and sometimes sacrifice yourself for others financially or take care of other people financially or good with other people's monies, but sometimes it's not easy for you to keep your money together. Pluto is opposing your sun, which rules your house of finance right now. So it looks like it's been some, I would say it looks like it's been a difficult time for you financially. As Pluto starts to pull away in the next few weeks, and by 6 weeks from now, Pluto is off the opposition to your sun, a lot. You've been having to let go of a lot, let go of a lot of parts of your identity. You've been asking questions about, are you enough for many things in your life? You may have been under, you know, financial strain during this time and even some health issues, and it's beginning, the light's beginning to come back. It's like you can see the dawn. It hasn't come yet, but you can see it, and it's coming, that you're at a turning point. If you continue to do the work and notice where you spend money, especially spend money on other people or give money away or take care of people, that it's time for them to take care of themselves and just kind of let your money begin to build some strength and energy amongst itself. And then it will be easy for you to get a car, to get the transportation moving. It looks to me like there's been a delay on that as Saturn goes back and forth on your but Saturn's moving back far enough so that you have a chance to get that turned around and get a car coming up soon, or get your car fixed coming up soon. Mm-hmm. And what do you see?
Well, it's the Saturn thing. You know, she's got the moon in Pisces on the north node in the eighth house. So part of what happens with your chart, because the moon in Pisces is trine to the Mars in Cancer, is when you're out, you reach into your pocket first. This is a chart that will be very generous with other people. Cancer rising, part of the way you show your generosity is the moon in the eighth. You give the money.
And best to end the second.
And best to end the second, right. She just kind of says, here, have mine. Sun in the 12th, this is an old pattern you learned from when you were little, to sacrifice yourself first. Sun in the 12th, sun in Cancer. Like, if I take care of everybody else, I'll get my needs met. And with a chart like yours, I always say, think of what they say on the airplanes. Put your air mask on first before you take care of other people. Sun squares Uranus. Saturn coming to Uranus by transit right now says, break the bad old habits. You've been working on this since last fall, especially November. Okay, so there were lessons in November and lessons in February. I can give you the dates, but you know what they were. And basically, for those listening at home, it was when Saturn was at 233 and squared her sun that said to her, go back 7 years, 2003, 2002. You started a story then where the universe said you have to set better boundaries. Saturn to Uranus is giving you permission to say no. You weren't allowed to say no when you were a little kid, but you're not a little kid anymore, so you can say no now. Or you can just not tell them, you know. You don't have to tell them you have money. Say you don't have any. They don't know. But if you say to them, oh, I have money, they're going to go, give me some. And you don't have to do that. Totally, totally, you can say no. And if you start practicing saying no and stop giving money to get people to love you, because that's how you do it, which is okay, But the universe wants you to get, like, aware of the fact that you have Venus on the second, so there's no way you can not make money. And you also have the sun ruling the second. So your chart mm-hmm. is good at making money.
Except Pluto's been opposing that sun.
Right. But that's also been teaching her to learn to say no. Because of the triangle that's involved. Whatever her and there's a triangle, you, another person, and a third person, or you, another person, and a third thing. Could be an addiction that they have that you've been bailing them out. Stop. Unless your finances are tied to them, in which case, get your finances separated from them so your credit is protected. But that's part of the problem, too. It's like whatever the addictive issue is, you want to kind of say, I'm not going to bail you out anymore. And you've been bailing. You were taught to bail. No more bailing. You have to be, I'm going to take care of myself first. And that's the way to do that is to put the money in your pocket and not tell them you have it.
And it looks to me like as Jupiter has been going back and forth over your ninth and into your 10th house, that there's some real potential for expansion in your work situation or some freedom in your work situation that there wasn't before. In the months ahead, not right now, but coming up, if you pay attention to it and take advantage of some opportunities that are coming up. So, you know, it looks good in the long run.
You have a question?
How is it sitting with you?
Pardon?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
How is it resonating with you?
Okay.
I'm sorry? Hello?
Hello?
Yes, hello.
I can hear you now. I asked you for a second. No. You're right on the money with everything. You really nailed it. I mean, I'm very impressed, actually.
Astrology really works.
Yeah.
No idea how, man, but it really works. You just kind of go
I don't know what it is, but let me tell you, Mercury mm-hmm. has been reckless when it comes to me.
Mm-hmm. I bet, sweetie. I bet. It looks like it's been really hard lately. Pluto and Mercury are just been dancing on your chart.
Yeah.
It's been playing around like crazy. But I'm glad that, you know, it's going direct now. I'm really happy about that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And thank you so much. I mean, thank you.
You're welcome. So good luck with it.
Good luck.
You know, really, it gets easier. The first few times you say it, you have to practice saying no in the bathroom mirror.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And you can also just say, let me think about it and get back to you, like when they hit you up. Mm-hmm. Say, let me think about it. Don't give the money over right away. Say, I'm going to have to think about it and figure out how I can do this. And then you can call them or practice in your bathroom mirror saying no. And
right.
then they'll get, you know, when you know, remember, you know, and this is hard for people like you because of the Pisces moon. I have a Pisces moon, too. If you don't give it to them, they'll go find somebody else to get it from.
Right.
They're very inventive. So if you say no, they'll find somebody else. And all you're in charge of is half a glass of orange juice. You do not have to give them the whole breakfast. You can give them a dollar.
I be a very resourceful person myself.
Yes, very resourceful.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I'm not comfortable with other people not being that way. If I can pull it, I mean, other
exactly.
people can. I mean, it's just,
exactly.
you know.
Then let them do it.
Get out a little bit.
And you, I think that you know when to be... When you there's a real reason for compassion when somebody really needs your help, not because they can't get it together because some emergency has happened. We're not talking about that. We're talking about people that are not taking responsibility for their life and have been draining yours.
Right, and that's exactly how
you're going to feel a real difference if you kind of stop the leaks and just kind of husband your resources. Even in 6 weeks, you're going to see a difference. And be ready to make those changes that you need to make for your own financial support right now.
You'll be surprised how fast it comes in when you're not leaking
mm-hmm.
it out. Yeah, because your chart's really good at making money.
Oh, that's good. Exactly
what I
needed to know, so I know where I'm standing. I really appreciate it.
Good.
Yeah. Good.
All right. Good. Keep us posted.
Bye. Right.
Bye. All right. Hi, 954. How are you? Are you there?
Hi, girls. How are you?
Hi, how are you? What's your question? You're on the air.
Yes. I'm a Scorpio, and I would like to know all these different aspects that have been going, all the changes from last Wednesday up to now. How can I work with them on my own benefit for my own finances?
Okay. And what is... Okay. Now, Venus is in Scorpio. This is our second money question. What's your birthday?
Mm-hmm.
11-3-59. November 3:59.
Uh-huh. What time?
5:20 p.m.
Where?
in Panama.
Oh, you're in Panama too?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, okay. Cool. All right. Scorpio, November 3rd, 1959, 5:20 p.m. in Panama. Okay, cool. Mm-hmm. All right, Heather, you want to run off, start?
You, why don't you take start this one? I'm still pulling up the charts.
Okay.
The trigger progressions.
All right. Changes in, you said this last week, right? What happened this last week was Venus went into Scorpio right at the edge of your sixth house.
Mm-hmm.
So she kind of went ding, and where she's been kind of hanging out below the horizon, she's now rising out and saying, I want you to pay attention. You have a lot of planets in Scorpio, three planets, two asteroids, and a pile in the seventh
right.
house. So when we have that just kind of kicks up this whole big story. The other thing that happened was Mercury stationed on your Pluto. Mercury's stationing degree was 5 Virgo. Right on the Pluto, sextile to the Venus, they're talking to each other, and also trine to Pluto in the sky on your Saturn. So you're having...
And
huge wake-up. Yep.
Right. Uh-huh. Pluto is stationed on her progressed Sun at 2 degrees of Capricorn.
And also on her natal Pluto, Saturn. Yeah.
And her natal Saturn,
mm-hmm.
and trining her ascendant.
And trining the ascendant. So mm-hmm. this is
so
the...
You're in metamorphosis, honey.
Yeah.
You're just changing.
Right. So the universe is sending you a giant triangle. You know what the triangle is in your life? You, another person, and a third person. Or you, another person, and a third thing, and it's saying to you, we want you to get clear on how to work effectively with triangles. No more fooling around. This is, you have to, you know, open up the triangle or work with the triangle energy productively. Now, when you're a Scorpio, your nature is to be in triangles. You know, sperm and the egg die to make the baby. Salad and tomato get chopped up, and the lettuce gets chopped up. They make a salad. They can't go back to the way they were. The purpose is transformation. When you got all that stuff in the seventh house, the other people invite you in to be transformed. And you kind of go, really? You want me to transform? I don't know that I want to transform. And right now the universe is saying, you got to transform. And you got to grab a hold of that triangle situation and work with it productively. My favorite book for Pluto transits like this is the book Power, P-O-W-E-R, by Robert Greene. It's excellent for stepping you through all the different dynamics that go on when you're having a big Pluto transit, and it also talks about how people use and abuse power. You're having a positive energy here to have you understand how to use the power of your chart. That's what this whole story is about. And whatever came to light when Mercury stationed on Pluto, whatever secrets were revealed, those are really important for you to pay attention to, especially Saturday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, through Wednesday of this week, maybe even Thursday. Whatever comes out, really just write it all down. Don't forget a single sentence of it, because the more you remember, the better it'll be, the easier it will be to work with it. And Progress on coming to Saturn says you're releasing the past life karma as we speak. That's what this is really also for. It's to release the stuff that you don't need anymore so you're free to actually create the life you want.
And I have a question. Are you in the New York area, or are you living elsewhere?
No, I moved back. I used to live in Florida. Now I live in Panama.
Okay.
In Panama.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Because that looks good for you. And Florida also looks good. I was saying if you lived in the New York area, I would say move out of here. So I'm glad to hear that you don't.
No. I live in Panama now.
Okay, you were asking a specific astrological question about how to use this particular time. Does that mean that you have some opportunities that you're in right in the middle of working on, and that you're trying to figure out how to work with these transits? Are you at a turning point yourself?
I'm waiting for to be called for mm-hmm. for job interviews. That's why.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Again,
I'm glad that it wasn't last week. I think that you're, you know, with progressed Pluto moving forward over your Saturn, the job interviews, is that to do with work with foreigners of foreign countries or international travel of any kind? Or education?
My applications? Yes. They do, yes. Non-profit international organizations.
Okay, very good. because that's Saturn in the ninth house, that your work is about dealing with the international community and or educational experiences. So if you're doing international work, Pluto's going to be going over that Saturn, I think, really empowering you in the process. If it doesn't happen this very minute, your progressed Sun is coming up to conjunct that Saturn. You're really walking in to the work that you came here to do. And there's been a delay on it. It feels like there's
yeah,
a problem at the agencies
word.
That you were working for, and that it wasn't. It's not about you, but there's been some delays based on other people's funding and issues. And you are moving into a better place with this.
Okay,
so
yeah,
is the
delayed.
You've been
are the interviews coming up after this weekend?
I don't know. It's been already 5 weeks. You know, the first
mm-hmm.
the first time was the application via email, because everything is done via
mm-hmm.
email. So
mm-hmm.
first
mm-hmm.
it was the application, then you have to be chosen. Once you are chosen, you have to go and take a test. I did the test. You have to wait until they receive the scores. They receive
mm-hmm.
the score. By this time, we're already talking about 4 weeks, they get the score. When they got the scores, they wanted personal references. I got three
mm-hmm.
personal
mm-hmm.
references. They emailed them, and it was a questionnaire that they need to fill out for the time I have worked before in the United States. We're
mm-hmm.
going into week number five. And it's been like a week and a half. Or then they wrote me again, and they told me, send us all your diplomas and
mm-hmm.
college degrees.
It's looking good. It's
so
looking good. Just keep stepping through those hoops.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's been like a week and a half, and I haven't heard from them.
I know. But you've got Mars and Pluto on your descendant. Mercury's been retrograde. It's not been time to hear from them. It's not about you. It's about their own issues. I think with Venus and Mars in your seventh house coming up to your own Mars, that you've got, you know, it's real potential for this to happen, that you will probably hear by the end of the week when the interview itself is.
Mm-hmm. The Moon in Capricorn at your top of your chart on Thursday, Friday.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's what I was thinking.
Mm-hmm.
And when Mars hits her seventh house cusp,
yeah.
I think she'll see action.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Should be the end of this week, beginning of next. So,
mm-hmm.
okay,
probably
Thursday,
yeah. Friday.
Good to me.
Mm-hmm.
You're
yeah.
in the right field. It's good. You just need to be patient. Sometimes you can be patient, 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 and then you shoot from the hip and be painfully honest.
Yeah, well,
and
I don't want to be at home.
Right. I want you to be careful to kind of just keep that 5 second lead on your mouth and remember to stay diplomatic with these people. And
yeah.
To be honest, but make sure that it's also, you know, honest and kind, honest and diplomatic.
Okay.
And you'll be fine.
Yeah.
Okay.
You're gonna be good at this.
Mm-hmm.
This is your work.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Deal.
Good.
And
okay,
that's all the triangles. It's positive. It's going to turn out okay. So forward you go. Good.
Okay, will do. Okay,
right.
Thank
Have
you.
Have a good day. All right, bye.
Anybody else?
Hi, 718. We're on the air.
Hello?
Hello, you're on the air. Question?
Oh, great. Yes. I wanted to know also about money. I had a question. It was what direction should I be taking in sense of money and career at this
okay.
moment?
All right, and what's your birth
okay.
information?
January 24th, 1984.
Time?
At 3:47 p.m., New York, New York.
Okay, January 2484, 3:47 in the afternoon in New York, and you want to know about money. And
now, before she goes into that, would you talk about, Anne,
mm-hmm.
why it's so funny that we've gotten three phone calls about money in a row?
Because Venus is in Scorpio.
and
Venus
and
in Scorpio is sextiling Mercury and Pluto, and everybody's going, okay, now I want to get clear about how I'm going to pay for my dream.
Mm-hmm.
And she is she's pushing. So Venus is going, push, push the money, push the money, push the money.
Yeah, it's saying, okay, I like my dreams, but now I want to see action.
Now I want to see how I get them fixed and how I get them to come in. Yeah. So everybody's
yeah.
kind of like, I want my dream. And we've also had Gemini rising. So the questions have been the same. It'll be interesting if the question after this is not about money, because Gemini, Mercury's in Virgo, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the ascendant's been Gemini for this back part of the show. So when it goes into Cancer, we're going to have people asking about their mother or their house. But you asked about money, so we'll talk to you about money.
Okay.
All right, so you're an Aquarius, and you've got sun ruling
moon last degree of Libra.
Moon at the last degree of Libra, and you've got the sun ruling the second house. So with you, money is really one of the big focuses in your life. Money's talent, skills, why you're here, okay? Because the house that the sun rules, Leo house, says, what are my talents and my skills? And with your Western orientation, you go to the other people to get money or to get invited to work or to do things. And you also have that moon joined to Pluto. So there's a whole desire here to really understand, how do I partner and create money going forward? And right now, Saturn in Libra is trining your sun. So it's saying, I get into these relationships with people, and I want to understand how I can control my own fate rather than them determining how much money I make.
Yes.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's the Saturn trine to the sun. So it's saying, do you go back 20 years? I know you're not that old. But go back 20 years, go back 10 years. Each of those times, you made money by your own destiny, your own fate. 10 years ago, you made it by groups. 20 years ago, you said, I'm going out in the world and I'm going to go make money. So you were a little person, but it still counts because, you know, this is a very entrepreneurial, you know, self, you know, able to get out there and do it kind of chart. You're not afraid of hard work. Mm-hmm. And so I would say to you, what's your dream? What do you really want? Venus is setting off your Pluto-Mars. Your mother told you you couldn't have your dream, but your mother was wrong. What is your dream?
My dream, I'm going and I'm taking entrepreneurial classes at Barnard College in Columbia University.
Mm-hmm.
I want to eventually own my own business. I just don't really know what direction to take it in right now.
Mm-hmm. Well, you're learning right now how to do that, right?
Yeah.
So that's the first thing. But haven't you always done your own business or done things that make you money? Like selling stuff or making things or coming up with
ideas? I haven't really completed it. It's always been like little ideas, but they've never completely launched. It's been more
and
like
you've,
ideas.
You know, been focused, and other people with that sun in the seventh house, you've been around some strong personalities that have, you know, been helpful to you, and you've been, but that's built, and then the power isn't back in your own hands, and that's been something that's been very important. And it looks like, you know what it's like to be without money, so you know how it's worth the hard work.
Yes.
What I see also is a fortuitous sixth house with Jupiter, which rules the sixth house, in the sixth house conjunct Neptune and Venus. So that is, to me, it's about healing. It could be small animals, too, but about healing small animals. And things that work with beauty, with womanliness, with healing the sense of the feminine in the culture. And anything that you do as a business that uses that sixth house, which is, and works on, you know, healing or empowering the female in the culture and the feminine energy in the culture, will be something that you can be great at as an entrepreneur and also feel good about and have it be healing to you as well as to the work. So you kind of have to believe in what you're doing as well as believe it can make money.
Okay.
And I think that that would be a good place for you. You have to watch out for yourself. There's a little tendency to be to have blood sugar problems or be prone to allergies or be more sensitive to alcohol and drugs than other people might be. So your own health does better if you're staying away from sugars and you are, you know, careful and moderate with the other stuff.
Okay.
And Pluto has been sitting on your Jupiter, so it's been saying, you know, it's not been time for you to break into this and fly free, but to work hard at what you've been doing. And I would say don't worry about where it's taking you right this very minute, because as Pluto pulls away over the next few weeks, over the next few months, you'll be able to see much more clearly what you want to do with it.
Okay, great. I was applying to grad school, and I don't know
yes.
if that would be something I should do because that's going to
mm-hmm.
take me 2 years. But
I think it's worth it for you.
It is? Okay.
I think I do think it's worth it for you. I think you need that's part of clearing up some of the issues from your childhood, like what Anne said about your mother telling you couldn't have your dreams.
Yes.
And it's more like she didn't know how to have her own dreams, so she didn't think you could either. Then she thought bad things about you. But the more support and belief that you have in yourself, the easier it'll be to break those old family cycles.
Okay.
And to really feel empowered. So I would go for the grad school or for an apprenticeship or mentorship.
Yeah,
okay.
Where you learn how to say, okay, I was taught this,
mm-hmm.
you know, what do I need to do? And remember, one of the things that happens, and we don't realize this, but we're taught in our childhood, that is the belief system we get given. And then we don't know any better because that's what we were raised in. And then we get out in the world and we go, how do we do that? So, like in my case, oil changes. When I got my car, I had never had a car. I was in my 40s. First car, I had to reverse commute. And I said something to the guy who sat next to me who used to be a mechanic about oil changes. And he goes, well, yeah, you change the oil every 3,000 miles. I'm like, really? I don't remember anything about oil changing. So I called my father, who was a doctor, and I said, Dad, oil changes. He goes, it's a scam. You just pour a little oil on the top, right? So I go back and I say to Anthony, you pour a little oil on the top. He goes, I would never buy a car from your father. So I'm like, okay. So here we have my father who poured a little oil in the top, who I know his history on repairing things around the house, and Anthony who used to work as a mechanic. So I decide to suspend belief and go and see what actually is out there. So I go and watch them change the oil a couple times, and I go, okay, I believe in oil changes. You know?
Mm-hmm.
And the oil goes in dark, comes out, goes in clear, comes out dark. You do it the next month, comes out dark, goes in clear. I'm like, okay, I'm into oil changes. I get it. My father was wrong. But we weren't taught, he didn't believe in oil changes, so I never learned about them.
Yeah.
And your chart is very, very smart. You got a very smart chart. So all you have to do is learn about it, and then you can figure out how to put it to use. And
yeah.
that's what the use of the school is for you, or any training
mm-hmm.
program that you're in. Once you learn it, you put it to use. And uh-huh. you're hungry for knowledge. So if someone doesn't
yeah.
give you the information, go find it for yourself, because
mm-hmm.
your chart is really interested in finding the knowledge, and you will run into people that will share the knowledge with you.
Okay.
So,
mm-hmm.
yeah. I totally,
Thank
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Good luck.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye. All right, so let's see if the next one asks about the house. Hi, 252. Are you there?
Yes, I am.
Are you going to ask about your house? Or your mother?
No, this has nothing to do with, like, finances or money or any of that.
All right, okay. What are you going to ask about? It should be something to do with cancer. Mm-hmm.
Well, actually, I'm a Capricorn.
You're a Capricorn, okay.
Okay. So what's
yeah.
your question?
Well, I mean, like, in the past couple of years, I've, like, really had, like, a shift in, like, my views on the world and, like,
mm-hmm.
just my overall, like, spiritual, like, beliefs and stuff. And
mm-hmm.
I was just trying to get, like, some guidance on that.
Okay, can you give us, we've only got 2 minutes left to our time.
Mm-hmm.
Give us your birth information and we'll do what we can fast.
Okay. December 28th, 1984.
December 28th, 1984, time?
I think it was like around 8 or 9 in the morning. I'm not exactly sure.
Where?
In Ohio, Wycliffe.
Mm-hmm.
Wycliffe, okay.
And
all right,
if we don't get to you today, if we don't finish up much, feel free to call us back another time and we'll go in more
depth.
Is
Wycliffe in Lake or Mahoning County?
I think it's Lake County.
Lake County, okay. All right.
So you're in a couple of years worth of transition.
Yes.
You've got, you know, Pluto coming up. Pluto sitting right on your Neptune, which is a great spiritual crisis.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And Pluto coming up to your Sun over the next few years saying you have to find a reason of why you are alive. Why are you here?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, they're also aspecting your Mars, so you're feeling a little passive and wondering. But I want you to, instead of thinking, like, why am I here, think, why am I here? It's an exploration for you. And you've left what you felt secure about in the past
spiritually, let it be a journey for you to really unfold and explore all the possible spiritual paths and look for what they have in common.
You mean like more like religion and things like that nature?
No, your own spiritual path.
Spiritual questions.
Yeah, your own spiritual path. And for those at home, I said it was going to be a Cancer question. His moon is in Pisces. All right, so Pisces moon wants a spiritual purpose for why they exist. One of the things that happens when people grow is they move from their sun, which is Capricorn, reliable, dependable, whatever, towards their moon. Men do that. Women go from their moon towards their sun. So you're moving towards your moon, which is a Pisces moon, which understands there's an interconnection between everything. So I would say to you it's more of an internal spiritual vision. You're understanding not necessarily dogmatic religion, but your vision of how the world connects and interworks. And you actually have a chart of a bit of a mystic with the sun and Neptune in the 12th and Pluto coming to it.
Yeah.
This is one of the most profound transformations this and there next year, and it started in 2008, and the universe is saying to you, go deeper. And it really, if you think back, it started in 2001, back 2001, when Pluto went into your 12th house and said, go deeper, think about the world, come up with a vision for what you believe the world to be. And you have a very strong chart for saying, make money, it's good to make money. But right now you're kind of going, what's the whole purpose of this? Why am I here? And that is a deep, profound question, and your job is to really understand it. And then once you get the answer to that in about 2 years, when Pluto gets into your first house, you're going to find that it really revs up your whole life direction, and it takes you into understanding your power in the sense of the power of being able to transform. Your sun is sextile to Pluto. When people have their sun in aspect to Pluto, one of your jobs is to be the voice for your generation. And you're coming from a dogmatic religious background with Saturn in Scorpio, that there's a punishing God. And you're moving towards a north node in Taurus, that the world is really here to be created by each of us. What is your vision for creation? And that's what you're struggling with, is the vision.
That's exactly how I feel.
Yeah.
Okay, go to thenewseminary.org and explore interfaith. And there's lots of different paths there, but there's many other places that you can find to just really take this on a journey.
And I would recommend getting Ram Dass's Be Here Now, right, and reading some of the books in the back of it, in the bibliography, where he talks about the books that he read during his spiritual conversion or his path, when he went from whatever his name was to Ram Dass. But he went through this spiritual questing, and he basically has a list in there that's, for lack of a better word, the best primer I've ever seen on go study these books and you'll come out like totally transformed, or at least be thinking very differently. And now with Uranus, about Uranus in June, July, beginning of June especially, went into your eighth, your third house of mind. In March of next year, you're going to find it, and you're going to really be taken off on this, like a whole new 84-year transformational cycle about your beliefs starting in March of 84, or starting in March, that will run for 84 years. So next March, it started last June, the June we just had, but it was a teaser. And now it's saying, go find stuff. Come back and talk to us. We'll come back and talk to us in March. We'll be back. Because they're letting you kind of fiddle around with it now and figure out what your journey is and trust your instincts. You've got very good instincts. And you've got very good guides that are going to help you. And part of your job is to be the voice for your group of babies to help people transform.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a very powerful chart.
Exactly how I feel.
Okay, good luck.
Good luck with it.
Okay, thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
So it was about his Pisces moon, his spiritual path. All right, so we're on, but we're streaming. We're on the air, so we'll say goodbye to everybody. This is Access Astrology. Mark left us. He went to bed because he has to get up and teach yoga at 5 in the morning. God bless his soul. Nothing happens to me at 5 in the morning. I'm Ann Ortley. I'm an astrologer in New York. I'm joined by
Heather Rowan Robbins. I'm in Manhattan for the moment, and I'm normally in St. Paul, Minneapolis, but we're both going to be, all three of us, at the Open Center tomorrow night.
6:30 to 7:30.
Hope to see you there.
22 East 50th. Hope to see you then. Bye-bye.